Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today with week 62 of the Ham Radio Podcast. Rather, episode 62. I apologize. It's been more than 62 weeks. And Lone and Noah aren't joining us. Oh, what a surprise. So I have two awesome guests with me this week. I think this time, Ellie, I think your connection's a lot better this time. You haven't, like, phased out on us.
I know. Yeah. I'm so happy.
Yeah, and so, you know, Lone, he's not joining us this week. Apparently, he's with his girlfriend. I think it's just his lisp. He doesn't want anyone to hear it for an extended period of time, personally.
Hey, guys.
I intentionally left his handle on screen so I could put a picture of an angry kid with braces there to represent what I imagined him as.
Yes.
Totally perfect.
And then Noah. Oh, Noah.
Ugh.
I'm going to expose you, Noah, because I'm hanging out with my girlfriend before this, and I sent him a snap, just a cute little snap, and Noah responds, like, making fun of me. And I'm like, all right, whatever. Noah's just, you know, we're like that to each other. But he sends me a snap of him with his girlfriend as well. I'm like, oh, Noah, I woke up with a text this morning. You said you had work today. He's like, all right, man, you got me. I had plans with her. I was like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Unreal. What an
fantastic.
What a bunch of awful people to host a podcast with, I'll tell you what. I got a better crew right now.
Hey.
Lucky you have us.
Yeah, I really am, though. I you guys really need to thank both Ellie and Nissan for coming on such short notice. Once again, it really helps out. So, yeah. Anyway, as always, link down below are iTunes and Google Play so you can listen on the go on whichever device you would like to. Also, timestamps are in the description, so if you want to hop around to a different segment in the podcast, by all means. And then each week, we like to invite you to interact with us by tweeting at any of the handles you see on the screen using the hashtag HamRadioTime. And the question for this week is, because it's mainly the theme of this week, what's your hype level for Dishonored 2? We just kind of want to get a feel for it, because it's coming up on us fast, man, and I am very excited. I don't think anyone's as excited as Ellie, but...
What?
We're trying.
Yeah, definitely. E3, I'm like so psyched to see what they have for that. Yeah. Like, oh my god.
Especially that like set of screenshots they released for the game. Like, oh my god. It looks so good.
Amazing. They look so good. It's totally different. Like, yeah.
It's more realistic looking, honestly. Like, it's not like a cartoony kind of. Not cartoony, but it reminded me of, like, BioShock, the first game, like the art style. And this is like really fresh. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think the actual designer, he was saying that his like goal was to almost have people think it was CG, because
really?
Like, yeah, like, I mean, I don't think it's gonna be like that.
Yeah.
But he was aiming for perfection, and I think he really hit the nail on the head. I think it looks really good.
If they look anything like those set of screenshots, oh my, we're in for a treat. Yeah, but just a little heads up for anyone listening right now. It shouldn't matter, just because we usually pull in the same amount of listeners roughly each week for the podcast, but really isn't any Fallout 4 because Far Harbor came out. I think Bethesda's holding off on all Fallout stuff until E3, which makes complete sense. We'll talk about console mods real quickly. We learned about how Fallout 4's console mods are finally rolling out now. May 31st, this is the day they come to Xbox One. But there's a 2 gigabyte limit, and I was reading the comments on my video. People are pissed.
Wait, there's a 2 gig limit on how many mods you can have at once?
Yeah, but it's on consoles.
Ooh.
That sucks.
There are mods bigger than 2 gigs.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm saying, like, I'm thinking of it this way. Like, you can use whatever mods you want, but it's a console. Like, there are limits. And
yeah, I know. It's a console. Good luck, console people. That's all I got to tell you guys. Have fun.
But
all on your own.
I mean, here, my perspective on the whole thing is, like, it's not like, oh, consoles are underpowered. It's just that to keep you from absolutely destroying your system, you can't just, like, load up on these, like, humongous mods and expect the game to run. It'll just break itself. I know Bethesda said they want you to break your game, but there comes a degree where it's like, okay, this game doesn't just work anymore. There's just too much to load. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what it is.
And, I mean, to be fair, like, you can say consoles are underpowered compared to PC, because that is true. And if you want to, like, say otherwise, because... Like, sure, there are some computers that are less than consoles, but, like, hardly. Like,
consoles are good if you're buying something and you don't want to upgrade it. I'm not saying, like, a casual gamer, but you just want to keep your stuff simple, which is totally understandable. I've still kind of preferably game on consoles. But now I've kind of shifted more and more over to PC, where PC's not like, oh, you have to be an advanced type of gamer. But it is a lot more complicated because you're going to have to keep your stuff updated if you want to keep running it at like a higher setting, which not a bad thing at all. But yeah, back to the mods. They're finally coming out. It's kind of crazy. I think Fallout 4 is the first game on consoles to actually get like official mod support.
I think it's a fantastic starting point for mods on the console, even with the 2 gigabyte. Like, I think that's great.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, but like, people were really salty about it. And it's not like defending Bethesda, but it's like, I get it, but I also don't know why people were so shocked.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, people like, I get why there's a 2 gigabyte limit, just because, like, imagine wasting like 90 gigs worth of space on a console. The Xbox One already doesn't have any space unless you buy an external hard drive. That's so, true. Like, putting any more on, you're kind of, like, out of...
A lot of mods don't take up crazy amounts of space unless they're, like, new lands mods and stuff. Like, the new weapons, the snap-and-build ones where it's, like, build a settlement wherever.
I was just thinking of, like, models and textures. Like, because, like, if... I don't think NMC will come back, but if, like... something of that scale will retexture the whole game. Like, I think that was, like, what, 4 or 6 gigs or something for, the, like, the biggest size. So it's just, they can get really crazy. So it's just, like, some mods are just, you're out of luck. And, like, especially those new LAN mods. So, like, because that's the biggest reason that console players or anyone would look forward to mods is because you can get those really big DLC-sized LAN mods. True. That will last the game, and now that you can only have 2 gigs, you're kind of out of luck, and you're stuck with those little things.
I'm curious to see if that's because of the Xbox One's power, because I'm not, like, a fanboy of either system, but I know PS4 is definitely a little bit more powerful than the Xbox One, and I wonder if that number of, like, 2 gigabytes will change whatsoever, or if it's just going to be for both.
Mm-hmm. I think it is the space limit, because, like, if it was determined on power, they'd say a limit of ESPs.
Okay,
it'd be like
true.
5 ESPs, and that's it. You'll overload the game and won't be able to handle it. So I think it's probably a combination of space and what Microsoft gave them. It's like, look, you can't have any more than 2 gigabytes of possibly malicious files or some stupid reason that's like a little out there, but sure.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think what's more interesting, though, is a little bit of a issue is going on in the Fallout community. I kind of wanted to make a separate video on it, but I wanted to talk about it a little bit and just get some of your guys' ideas on it, is that I saw a Reddit post that got a lot of upvotes, like I think close to 2K. It was sent to me a couple of times, and it was a guy who made mods for fun. It was a hobby, and he was saying that a lot of console players are sucking the fun out of making mods because people are constantly asking, is this coming to consoles, and like harassing modders to like bring their stuff to consoles and stuff, and certain things on BethesdaNet really aren't allowing them, and like people are getting mad at modders and stuff for that, and it's like the guy was basically saying that people are, like, sucking the fun out of his hobby, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, like, I definitely see that everywhere. It's like, people always like, oh, is this going to be on Xbox One? Can I play this on console? Can I do this and that? And it's like, I definitely see where the mod author would come from. It's because, like, it would get so annoying for people to keep asking and asking and asking. And I get why the console players are doing that. They're antsy because it's the first time they've had anything like this. This is the first time that they've had any sort of power. Like, PC players, like, most of us are, like, used to having mods and, like, understanding, all right, well, this broke. This doesn't work. Or, like, he's working on
talking
this.
Talking about breaking home, man. You know, you're signed with me.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I know. But, like, yeah, like, and then if we're just, like, we're more attuned to, like, things not going a certain way exactly. And console players, they're used to everything being perfect because everything is perfected before it goes to console. So it's, like...
This is true.
Yeah, like, there's hardly any game unless the game is, like, really bad. Mm. Like, the game is usually bug-free for the most part, and it works. And, like, on PC...
Yeah, so you just... And by this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, because I know someone will try to be snarky, but it's like, he means, like, put the disc in, the game plays, you're good to
go. Yeah, like, maybe a day one patch, whatever. But on PC, especially with mods, there's always, like, you know,
files, transferring stuff.
Yeah, like trying to install it, getting things to work. Mm-hmm. Well, this path isn't correct, so now this texture doesn't appear. This is broken. This breaks the game when I touch this a certain way, and it's just like,
yeah,
it's so iffy, the whole process. So it's like the console mods or the console players are going to really hound the mod authors. I kind of feel bad for everyone who's going to try to put stuff out. And then, because like, especially people who do script type stuff, yeah, or like models, because they're going to, the console players be like, oh, why can I see through the gun in this one little tiny part? And then they'll get like 1,000 people hounding and like insulting them, mm-hmm, for that. Yeah. And it's like, no, this is a quick bug fix. And this happens all the time. And it's like, it's not a big deal. Just calm down. But they won't get it. Because,
yeah, that's true. Like, because of how, I think part of it's because of how like intuitive Bethesda.net is. It's so easy just to quickly download stuff. You see, yeah, like, the constant flow of new mods. Like, people are going to expect it to be all good.
Yeah, they'll think it's, yeah, like 100% definitely perfect. They won't understand it's like, it's real people. It's not just developers who get paid for it. This is people who like do it because they want to. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, they're almost like as if they've been living in a utopia the entire time where everything works, and now that they're going to have mods, things are not going to work, and they're not going to understand. They're going to be like, why doesn't this work? And then they're going to freak out on the people who made it, yeah, instead of understanding it's just a mod. It's how it is. Get over it. It'll be fixed if it can be fixed soon.
I mean, yeah, and I get, I don't think, I'm not saying the guy who wrote the Reddit post is wrong. I'm saying, though, that I get his frustration entirely, but it's also, you kind of have to put yourself in their shoes, like you said, like, they're antsy, they're excited because they're going to be, yeah, able to extend the life of their game and mess with new stuff that they used to only be able to do through watching YouTube videos, which I think is really exciting. But I can get totally why it'd be really annoying and frustrating for a mod maker to constantly be hounded about whether or not his stuff was coming to consoles. But you also, I mean, it's a bad perspective. You gotta be a little little happy at the fact that people are interested in your work and they want to play it more. And this is kind of common game dev stuff where these game developers are constantly asked tons and tons of questions on how much people can access it and all this stuff. And I think now modders are being exposed to a much bigger community in the end of it all.
Yeah, it's just like the only issue is console players, like, they just, the way that everything will work out and everyone will be happy in the end is if console players like understand and they recognize that how mods are, mm-hmm, and they don't stick to this like high horse of everything has to be perfect, everything has to be correct because I'm a console player. Like, yeah, console players, like, everyone, console and PC, everyone needs to understand we're all screwed. Everything's going to be broken. It's going to be okay, though, because we'll fix it. Just calm down. And, like that's the thing, is if console players can understand that, and, like, they, like, the consoles as a community can understand it's okay to mod, then mod authors will be much happier in, mm-hmm, helping and fixing. But if the console players keep being annoying and keep hounding the mod authors, then they're not going to be happy, and then they'll get even worse support.
Yeah.
So it's like, either just calm down, let the bugs happen, be calm about everything, and it'll turn out well in the end. But if you freak out, then things are not going to work out in your favor.
True. Yeah, well, that's just a quick little Fallout discussion. Let's talk about really what's headlining this week. Dishonored 2, Allie. I can see a smile on your face.
Yep.
So some of this information I just want to say is carrying over from last week, because if you guys don't know, the reason the podcast was delayed was because Lone and I both tried to record and it failed on both our ends. My memory ended up being filled somehow, and Lone's just, I don't know what the fuck happened on his end. But regardless, we're going to talk a little bit more about some stuff that surfaced last week for Dishonored 2, but also some new information that came out this week as well. Ellie, you were about to say something, though?
I was just going to bring up the fact that there was a bit more as well this week, so we have a lot of news,
Great.
Oh, hell yeah. And then we hardly, even last time I was on, I couldn't say anything.
Yeah, so. But now you can actually run us through this as we go through each one. We'll talk about it all together, which is awesome, because like I said last time, you were cut short. That was unfair.
I know. It was very unfair. I was very, very heartbroken over it.
Yeah, let's see how long you talk about this.
All right. So, yeah, we'll start off with my first bullet point. Dishonored 2 will not be dumbed down. Co-creative director Harvey Smith commented on this topic. He mentioned that Corvo received a voice not because of an industry trend, but because players wanted to know how Corvo would emotionally react to certain things in the game. The team treats voice protagonists as another tool if it's done correctly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how I feel about the voice protagonist, to be honest.
Really? Like, you like him silent?
I can see the pros and the cons to both. But what's kind of giving me hope with the voice protagonist is the fact that we have multiple levels of chaos now. And the lines that they will be, I know we already had multiple levels. But yeah, the lines that they will actually be saying will change.
Yeah, that was one of the things I actually had written down. Yeah. Is that there will be objects placed around the world that the character can interact with and comment on, different lines based off Corvo and Emily, as well as their levels of chaos. So it's like a total of six lines, because you got Corvo and Emily, and then the high chaos, low chaos, and then kind of in between.
Yeah.
How much do you think they're going to differentiate those lines? You know what I'm saying? Like,
depends on what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Like, because that's exciting on paper, but if it doesn't have that proper depth to bring that character to life, like, wow, Corvo sounds terrifying, you know, then that's a problem.
It's interesting because, like, the reason that they're giving them a voice is so that we get more of an insight into who they are as characters. Yet at the same time, if depending on each level of chaos, if they totally change personalities every time, it's like that kind of defeats the purpose of learning about the character as the character. I that's what I feel. Like, we'll technically have six different characters is what I'm like, if that's how far they differentiate.
Yeah.
But I mean, something simple. I mean, that's fine. Like, I reckon that'd be cool just to see that change.
You kind of, you're against Lone on this, where Lone's like, I think that Dishonored's story was a bit lacking. Where you seem to be thinking,
I'm a little triggered. I'm going to be a little on it.
No, it's fine. I'm just wondering because, you know, most people are like, all right, you know, Dishonored seems like, because you've got this set protagonist, it's not like a Fallout where you're yourself and they're giving you a voice. Like, Dishonored has a set protagonist, so it seems like a voice is actually fitting. I'm curious. I want to hear your thoughts, you know, on this then, because you said you don't know how you feel. What makes you think that maybe they should keep Corvo and even Emily silent?
I mean, I guess it's like me just being used to the first game, where it was like you could sort of imagine yourself as Corvo and put yourself into his situation and sort of look at something and you personally have an opinion on it. Like, if Corvo were to make a comment but you don't necessarily agree, I think that sort of messes with the flow of, like, you being that character. Like, the last thing I want is for me to be playing a certain way and then for Corvo to comment or Emily to comment on a certain situation and have it be the opposite of what I think he should have thought or what she should have thought in that situation because of the way I'm playing. Like, it's because of the different ways that people interpret things and the different ways that people play the game, I feel like there's a chance it might conflict with each person's experience.
That's interesting. That's a good point. For me, I think the most intriguing line I read from that part of the article was, or rather it was a video interview, was when he said, we just treat it like another tool where we're confident we're going to do it right. So since we do it correctly, it furthers the game, doesn't hold it back. But I think what was also interesting is he acknowledged it was an industry trend that you see everyone adding voices, and he's like, we're not doing it because of that, although it looks like it. He's like, we're doing this because, you know, we think it'll add to our game.
And if he's not just saying that, then, I mean, I imagine Dishonored started, like, production a while back, so they had to have pre-planned all those lines anyway. So it's,
had to have been immediately after Knife and Dunwall or something like that.
So, like, it's not like they could have been following a trend, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, that's true. There's been a lot of stealth games as well in between the first Dishonored and now the second one coming up. There was, and they mentioned it, there was like Thief, there was, I think, Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Yeah.
There's a decent amount of stealth games that came out over time, so it's very interesting to see how this is going to hold up against them. But it's like, there hasn't been, like, I might be wrong, but right now I'm trying to, like, think back. Shadow of Mordor was a decent stealth game to some degree. I know it was, like, obviously you had the Arkham Knight combat, but that had, like, decent stealth gameplay. I'm trying to think right now. Is anyone thinking of any other stealth games that come out recently?
Honestly, I think I haven't really played any other stealth games.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I haven't liked a stealth game since Dishonored.
Yeah. Like, I don't think there's anything that really...
Oh.
I mean, other than Thief is what I'm thinking. That's apart from Thief.
Metal Gear.
Oh boy. I'm going to get fucking crucified for forgetting that one. Oh boy. I'm sorry.
I think Konami, like everything
except Ninja Turtles from when I was a kid, just been wiped out of my head about Konami.
Yeah, how'd Ninja Turtles go, man?
Oh boy. I'll admit, I was wrong. Like, I said, all right, I said I will, to some degree, mildly quote myself on the podcast that I said, I think this game's going to get like a 7. Because it was more frustrating about that game that they had the tools to make a good game. It was that they chose not to and chose to make money instead that really irked me. You had the competent dev. You had the comic theme. You had a universe to mess around with. And instead, you made a story mode that's 4 hours long with 3 locations.
Wow.
The rooftops, the city, and the sewers. And you go to each of those 2 or 3 times, and it's disgusting.
Oh, God, that's...
It's torture. And I'm saying this as someone who loves Ninja Turtles and, like, just would stick up for them, like, try to find something right with it. It's so bad.
It's like next to, like, Battlefront, almost.
It's... Well, with Battlefront, I don't know which one hurt more, because with Battlefront, it's like... Battlefront was more of a wow to me. It was like, wow, they really just... I what were they thinking, you know? At least now they're starting to fucking pull back a little bit, though, EA, and is actually admitting, like, yeah, we didn't have a campaign because of the movie. Sorry, just, you know, money talks, right?
Because Disney just wanted money. So, like, DICE couldn't do anything.
Yeah, like, I'm really hoping with Battlefront 2 that they're going to make a campaign.
They'll make a good game, which I think they will, because... They showed that they could, they just weren't allowed to, essentially.
I'll say this much. Battlefront from DICE had the aesthetics of the Battlefront I dreamed of. Like, the large explosions, the sounds, the looks, you know, even to some degree, like, the gunplay and stuff. That's what I thought of. It's just, it didn't have enough meat on its bones at all.
And the
missions mode was a fucking laughing stock.
I only played the beta. I never bought the game, but, like... It reminded me a little bit of, like, Survival, or whatever it was, from Mafia 3. A little bit. I don't know.
Mafia 3?
Oh, Modern Warfare 3.
Oh, I was going to say, what the fuck? So you said Mafia 3, I'm like, what? Is that out? Like,
there's something, no.
I don't know. Stealth gameplay in it. That looks all right.
What, Mafia 3?
Oh, yeah. That shit looks so good. It looks so good. I can't wait. But yeah, back to a little bit more Dishonored. One thing I thought was also interesting about the voice protagonist is that they said in this interview that they considered having an option to disable a voice protagonist.
Yeah.
But since it was used for so many gameplay cues, they dropped the idea. Now, also, I'm sure part of it was like, look, this would be such a big waste of time if we turned it off. But still, to me, I thought that was interesting that they actually considered that.
Considered it. Yeah, it really kind of shows that they thought about people's opinions and that they were considering it, which is a great thing. But yeah, it does make sense that if you were to incorporate the voice in so many aspects of your game, then to turn it off kind of just erases all of that work. And it's like, what's the point? What's really the point?
What he means by gameplay cues, you think like...
Cutscenes and stuff?
Yeah, like oh, I got a new power, like... the fuck is this?
Yeah,
you know, like looking at
basically
your
like you yeah, probably go into a location and you probably make a comment as soon as you land in and stuff like that. You see people like that you're about to talk to, and yeah, it's probably just no point.
A lot of gameplay hints.
Yeah,
he'll like call out like,
I should probably climb up that castle. Something
yeah,
like that. Like those,
yeah,
those blatantly well, obvious. Like this is such a video game kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Probably, well, that's what he was saying he would do. Like, that's how you know that you were going to an area that you could actually explore and look more into that isn't necessarily part of the main thing. Like, you'd look at a building and make a comment about the building and like, oh, this looks old and really like abandoned or like something, just some comment. And you'd be like, oh, maybe I can go in there and pick up a side quest or pick up something like that. Like,
I really hope they have that, because Dishonored 1, what was so cool about it is because it was literally, like, the term sandbox level was truly realized there, because, like, I think of, like, that when you first enter Dunwall, where it's, like, you have like all these different buildings and you can enter them and get side quests in there. And it's not like they were these fully flushed out quests, but like, you had the one with that old lady. You had
Granny
one,
Rags.
Yes, Granny Rags. That's who it was. You had that one. You had the one where one of my favorite ones was the what was the name of that like science lab that you could kind of
science lab. Oh, the fuck.
And it was just loaded with stuff to like steal. I like that a lot.
Is that the rats? The guy with the rats?
Yeah, what was his name?
I think so.
But
it was like in the first area, and I really liked that because there was just. You know, you could just go straight to the objective, and that was, like, a challenge in its own. But there were other things that were, like, organically incorporated into the area. They didn't feel forced. Like, hey, look, side quest area. It was like, no, this is, like, a part of what's happening here, and it makes sense that it's there. I really like that a lot. I love that game so much, dude. I really can't wait for the second one.
It's really awesome. Mm-hmm.
And it's good. What's good is that you're not going to have to wait too long for a bit of a Dishonored fixed, ladies and gentlemen. There are Dishonored comics and graphic novels coming our way this summer.
Yes!
Really awesome stuff. So let's talk about that a little bit.
I, like, had no idea up until recently, and when I found out, I, like, exploded. Like,
I threw it in the group chat. I was like, did Ellie see this yet?
Like,
I don't think so. And then you just go, oh my god.
Put it in the group chat.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my god, I literally only saw it because I was stalking V. Smith's Twitter. Like, I didn't even see it.
Saw it, that's why I didn't say anything.
If I had seen it, do you really think I wouldn't have reacted at all?
Well, no, really? I thought you just saw it, like days before Matt had put it in the chat, and you just hadn't seen it.
Oh, and I was like, oh yeah, I already know.
I had
no idea. But such an awesome, like, I feel like it has a lot of potential because there is a lot of lore in the whole Dishonored universe. Like, and it's soon. It's before the game comes out. So we'll get it before, and like, the hype will build. And yeah, I'm so excited for it.
They said in a brief description of it that it's going to flush out the characters of both Corvo and Emily a lot more. So I'm wondering, do you think these are going to be like... Obviously, they're not going to be mandatory reads, but do you think, like, they're going to greatly assist this game, or do you think they're just kind of going to be there and, like, for the hardcore, like,
probably fans?
Probably be, like, the life of Corvo before the game, maybe.
Well, maybe either before in the 15-year gap.
That would explain
probably,
a lot.
Yeah. I think that would be handy to see how, you know, we got to this situation that maybe Emily's gotten herself into, and it probably might elaborate on that a bit more. If not, you know, I'm sure a lot can happen in 15 years, so a lot of potential.
Yeah, I've noticed this is becoming a trend in games that they're just kind of, like, marketing their lore outside of the game. Destiny obviously did that with the whole Grimoire app. What else is there? Overwatch kind of did the same thing. You can only find out more about the heroes, like, with the animated shorts or on the website for Overwatch itself. You can learn more about each hero, and it's like now they're doing Dishonored comics and graphic novels, which is interesting. I'm probably going to pick them up. But it's just like, I wish this type of stuff was just in-game.
In-game.
Audio
definitely.
Logs, text logs.
Yeah.
Just give it to me.
Like, I'd rather have it in-game, but if it wasn't in-game, the last thing I want to do is go to your website and read about some character
that's
not going to ever
happen. I'll talk about Overwatch in a little bit, but yeah, I share similar thoughts on that. I'd rather have my stuff in game, not have to pause my game. Let's see what this hero does. Like,
The comic is kind of cool, but like the last thing I'm ever going to do is go on the website. Like, you can forget about that.
Yeah,
I mean, it depends on what kind of fan you are. I know definitely for hardcore fans, and I mean. So if you're crazy like me, you won't care, and you'll want to grab every little piece of information forever and whenever and just read it and sit down and spend hours reading it. Anyway, but, like, my opinion on it is as long as it doesn't take away from how much you put in a game. Mm-hmm. If you say, okay, maybe we'll leave this out of the game so we can put it in a comic that we can sell later. Like, that's what I'm worried about, that mindset to come in where it's like, maybe we won't add too much to the game because we're going to elaborate on this separate piece of content. And it's like, but that should, like, anything like a comic or anything should really just, I don't know. I don't want it to take away from the in-game lore and like the audiobooks that, that play and the books that you actually pick up and the notes and stuff. I don't want that to be lessened because we have these other pieces of media.
They have that in the first Dishonored as well. So it's kind of like, you know, I guess we don't have to worry about them not being there, but I hope they just don't leave out information.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, if they're filling in more like, okay, give like a general consensus of the backstory of like Corvo and Emily, what happened in that last 15 years. I imagine they're going to do that. But if you give more detail on what happened, like an actual story behind that and everything for these comics and these graphic novels, I think that's a good idea. Because then you're really not taking away from anything. You're just kind of adding to it, really. Because obviously you're not, I know some people complain and be like, oh, why don't they just make it playable? I mean, that's a lot of assets and game time and stuff that you're asking for. And it's not like it's impossible. It's just that sometimes there are games that are like too long. And I think like Dishonored was like the perfect length.
Yeah. Cause like,
you had two ways to play it. It worked perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a lot of people complained that it was really short and stuff, but I really think it was a decent length considering the amount of times you could play it, like the amount of ways that you could play it. So it's like, yeah, okay, if you sat down and like full on went at this game, you'd finish it in no time. But the thing is, like, if you actually sat down and you played it and you went through everything and then you did the different chaos levels and then you tried to do all the achievements and you, like, you could put so many hours into this game. I know I have.
Yeah. You've had obviously way more playthroughs than Nissan and I combined. But for me, like, when the game first came out, I easily got 3 playthroughs out of it, you know, like good, evil, and then like non-lethal.
Yeah.
And definitely. That was, I had so much fun doing all of those. It's such a remarkable game. That's why I'm so excited for the second one to finally come out. I don't know why I said finally like that, honestly. It really hasn't been like they announced it and like they're doing the release date just right. It's good stuff. Anything else you want to add on to Dishonored 2 before we move on to something much less exciting?
I mean, what else is there really? I mean, like, I'm really excited that they're adding more like civilian life into
really
the game.
They are?
Yeah, so there was an interview recently that just came out, and he was talking about how Harvey was talking about how civilians will be, there'll be more of them, like there'll be more like things going on that you can observe. There'll be more background story on just general random people in the world, and it'll make it seem a bit more real and like a bit more. So yeah, that's cool.
So it's like I know in the first part of Dishonored they had it, but like in the second part, if you were like doing high chaos, I remember when you went back to Dunwall, you could see like people like dying of the disease on the streets.
Exactly,
and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they'll add more of that.
There's a lot more of that.
Cool, because it's like Karnak is like an actual living city, right?
Yeah, it's a lot different from Dunwall.
Yeah, where Dunwall is kind of like going down the shitter completely. Yeah,
definitely.
While Karnak is kind of, I don't want to say, I don't know if thriving. I mean, it looks like it's thriving from the outside when they show that island shot.
Yeah, definitely. The trees and stuff, like, that's all new. The whole green, the green idea is definitely new. Brings it to life a little bit more, I think.
I wonder if it's going to be, like, it's going to sound weird, but do you think it's going to be, like, too green in a sense? Like, you think it's going to be, like, like, I really liked in Dishonored 1 how they switched it up a lot. Like, you were in Dunwall. You were at that masquerade kind of party. That was one of my favorite missions. I love that one.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
That was hard as fuck, though. In my opinion, you know, you had a lot of things switching up. You think like Karnaka, it's going to be constantly like roaming these rooftops and these kind of like favelas and stuff.
You have a point there.
You probably do the city, probably like some interiors that like give it a different taste. And then you probably go into the forest, I imagine, for one bit. I don't know.
I can't wait to see that mansion, the Clockwork Mansion.
Oh.
I think... Because the locations are definitely going to be, I feel like they're going to be pretty interesting. I mean, we go from Dunwall, so we're going to be in Dunwall for a little bit before we go to Karnaka.
Sure.
It has to end in Dunwall
or something like that. It has to, like,
I feel like it ends, you go back home and it like ends like that. Like,
because Emily runs away from Dunwall, so it's got to end there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
That makes sense.
I'm excited. Definitely the Clockwork Mansion, though, will be a fantastic level. Like, and the fact that you, like, it'll be moving and you can actually be, like, running through it I heard that it read that in an article that apparently they're going to be doing that. So, you know, be
like
seeing
the level
it.
Changes around you while you're like,
yeah,
God. Well, yeah, I remember like when she walked in and like the whole like room just started like shifting and stuff. And then when she started chasing the guy, like the hallway was like popping out in different areas. Like this is gonna be an intense game. I can feel it already. Gameplay wise.
There was a point in the trailer. I was listening to this interview, and Emily uses bend time in the trailer. Apparently, she doesn't actually have bend time. They changed that, so that pissed
me
off.
They lied.
She used it in the trailer, and then they changed it.
So and they're learning. It. And like, they're learning from Bethesda, huh? They're lying in their reviews. I mean,
I hope they didn't show us the ending.
Right.
You know what? Yeah, because that's
I hope
like
that's not the final guy, right?
That's what I'm. Because that's what it seems like. The Duke of Circonus, like he's the last. Like, is that how it ends? Did you literally
imagine.
Just show us the ending? Like, nah, that's what I thought.
Imagine,
what I,
like a twisty, turny kind of game.
Yeah,
where it's like
there'll probably
trail,
be something
like, oh,
else.
You've been tricked. The Duke was good. Yeah, you know, something like that.
The Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah, but on to less exciting news. Let's talk about Elder Scrolls Legends. Yeah. Well, just wanted to kind of shout out a little article that Bethesda posted. I think it was interesting just because it's a good way to catch up on the races for the Elder Scrolls universe. If you guys want to look it up, they posted it. Each race has a little description so that you can get familiarized more with the ES universe. Nothing huge there. This game, though, man, I swear, they have to release it alongside something exciting in Elder Scrolls. Like, it's not, I was just talking about this before the podcast, but it's not gaining traction. It needs help. It needs something exciting in Elder Scrolls. Like, hey, you want your ES fixed now? Go get it. You know, play ES Legends.
Yeah.
That's how Fallout Shelter worked.
You think they'll do the next Elder Scrolls?
Yeah, announce ES6. I'd probably die.
I would cry.
I would cry. It'd be too much for 183. I would probably start bawling my eyes out. Like, I mean, there's been a lot of articles going around, like there usually is, about like, oh, it might come out next year, or it's probably going to come out. Like,
people not realize that there's like just barely over 100 people working at that studio. Like, it's impossible.
I
would love to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but it's like almost impossible. Even with the expansion, I know people are gonna say, oh, they expanded. There's like 50 people there.
It's not possible. There's no way. They're still working on Fallout 4 content. Like, there's still, isn't there gonna be more seasons for Fallout DLC?
There's a lot more DLC coming. Yeah.
Yeah. So
second phase coming. I wouldn't be surprised if that kept selling. That they like said, okay, now season pass is like,
yeah,
I don't want to say done, but like, all right, we got more. We're gonna do more for you guys because you guys keep buying it. You know, until Lone made a good point. Until they stop making actual considerably good money from it, they're just gonna keep going with it. And with a game that sold like more than any other Bethesda Game Studios game, there's still plenty of people who can buy this stuff. So especially with how well Far Harbor is done. There's a lot of DLC coming.
What I want is like the standard four expansion packs or whatever.
Oh yeah,
like as long as I get that, I'm happy. So I hope there's like three or four seasons of.
I think Nuka World's definitely one.
You think it's gonna be one of the big ones?
I don't know if. See, I don't know if what they're gonna do with Nuka World is gonna be like what they did with Far Harbor, where they're like. Because I felt more satiated with Far Harbor with like Automatron, it gave us enough content to do stuff, but I didn't feel like it was enough.
No, it was like a little.
Yeah, with Far Harbor though, I feel like I got enough Fallout to keep me fixed for a while until they announce something new. Where I feel like that's kind of what Nuka World's going to be, and I don't know if they're kind of leaning towards that, where they're going to start doing more just the bigger pieces of content because they know people just want a bunch, or if they'll start doing what was acceptable, where they did another small expansion each month. Because people got to remember that with Fallout 3, and I don't know about New Vegas, I don't remember, but I know for a fact that Fallout 3 was each month consecutively, like new DLC, new DLC, new DLC. So you got like the Pit, you got Broken Steel, all this shit. And they just give you. Yeah, they did it every month. Or every other month. I can't remember. I can't look it up because I have to record. But one of the months, I'll check. But whatever. It was very well spaced out. And so I think it was every other month, actually, now that I think about it. I don't know.
I was saying one month.
It's a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, not a huge
I think deal. Every other month.
Yeah, but you know. That I think they're gonna announce like the whole phase 2, and that's gonna suck because I'm gonna be at E3, so it's like when they announced it there, I'm just be sitting there like, I can't do anything about this.
I know, that's tough or something.
Oh, poor thing. You're going to be at E3.
I meant that. Okay, you know what I meant.
All the time. I want to cry.
I'm excited, but I'm really nervous. Like, I was talking to my mom and my girlfriend about it. I was just like, oh my god. Like, because it's not like a PAX where it's like lots of like just gaming fans are there. Like, this is all professional. So it's like, I have to dress up, look good, look the part.
Yeah.
Like, I just like wearing basketball shorts and stuff. Like, fuck. Wow. Such a problem I have. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's move on to section 3. What we're playing and our favorite gaming news bit. Would anyone like to go first? Or...
Black Ops 3. I love the game. I'm going to get crucified, but I don't care.
What?
Black Ops 3. I love it.
No, you're going to get crucified because you're saying that when Overwatch just came out.
I don't care. Well, Overwatch sucks.
Okay. He's going to trigger a lot of people.
Oh, you're really asking for it now.
Overwatch, I don't care. It's a dumb game. I don't need it.
You can't say that. You haven't played it.
I don't care. It's bad. It doesn't look good. Fine. Not even going to bother with it. I'm gonna play Black Ops until Battlefield comes out. And Battlefield's going to destroy Overwatch. Because Battlefield's going to destroy everything.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is going to just... It's going to be that broom, and it's just going to clean up all 2016.
Yeah.
It's going to take the year. We're just coming through.
Guys.
Yeah, especially with how Advanced Warfare, whatever it's called. Infinity Warfare, whatever it's called.
People now, when you hate on that game, people are like, you're just doing it because everyone else hates it. It's like,
I have
this cool thing called an opinion, and that game looks like trash.
It's so bad.
It bothers me because it looks like Advanced Warfare. I like Black Ops 3 a lot as well. I was just messing with you. I like Black Ops 3 a lot. And
yeah. Like,
hated Advanced Warfare.
Like, to be fair, like, in all seriousness, Black Ops 3 is really good compared to most of the Call of Duties. The
campaign I've heard wasn't that good, but...
It was kind of cool. It was like kind of... No, it's a first person
Black Ops 2 campaign. That was my favorite of all the Call of Duties.
Black Ops 2? Mine was 1. Yeah. I liked Black Ops 1's campaign.
I like COD 4, so you know. There you go.
Oh, wow, dude.
Are you spending
$80 on the COD 4 remaster?
Oh, not that stupid. I didn't like it that much.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, if you sell it separately for $20, yeah, sure.
$80,
go fuck yourself.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's Activision. They won't.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's
and
like
enough people are going to buy it where they won't have to sell it separately. So it's like...
Yeah, unfortunately. But yeah, no, it's like Black Ops 3 is good, but you have to take into account Infinity Ward and Sledgehammer suck at making games now because they're just in it for the money. Treyarch is the only one that's they do good because every single Treyarch game, Black Ops, Black Ops 2, Black Ops 3 now, they've all been better and they've always been the fan favorites because like you look at like Ghosts and...
Whoa.
Advanced Warfare? Those were
I played the awesome. Campaign of Ghosts with my brother, and that was disgusting. And then I tried the multiplayer myself with some of my friends.
It was so bad. It was
and
so
And then
bad.
The Aliens mode? What the fuck are you smoking?
Yeah, they were just trying... And then I think Advanced Warfare tried to take off the zombie idea, too, and they failed at that as well. So it's just like... Just
oh, yeah, that was in Advanced Warfare.
Ghost had one, too.
Yeah, they had exo-zombies.
Yeah, they had exo-zombies and they had that alien crap. They all try to rip off Treyarch, but Treyarch knows how to do their stuff correctly. But, like, Call of Duty is good every 3 years. And that's why I'm okay with Call of Duty.
It should be.
yeah, exactly.
Should be made every 3 years.
It should be.
I can miss Call of Duty, build up some excitement for it, and then when it's announced, it's like, yes.
And that's kind of how I'm going to treat it from now on. It's going to be like, Infinite Warfare and the next one, I don't care about those. And then when Treyarch comes out and they're like, Black Ops 4, whatever they make, I'll be like, yes, I'm going to buy that because that's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise,
to be fair, like COD trailers have never sold me. Even the gameplay's never sold me. I literally just word of mouth. That's what I listen for. After the first 2 weeks it comes out, where people are done saying, this is probably the best Call of Duty that has come out. Like,
yeah, when they get over that little bit of hype.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Black Ops 3, I did get it when it came out, but that's only because I wanted to play zombies. But, like, I know Treyarch usually does pretty good.
I got Black Ops 3, 2 weeks after it came out. Or, no, I'm trying to think. When Black Ops 3 came out around the same time as Fallout 4, didn't it?
I think it came out like a week before or a week after. I think it was a week before.
Before?
Yeah, because I remember playing it a little bit before Fallout 4.
And I definitely wasn't playing it beforehand. I played it month or so after. Yeah.
Okay.
I started playing it in like December when I was like, okay, Fallout, I'm done with you for a little bit before I die.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite gaming news bit then, Nissan? Something that's going to equally trigger people? He's shaking his head.
I don't know. Does Black Ops 3 DLC count? I don't know. Triggered everyone today.
Wow.
I don't have any gaming news. I don't know.
I was setting up the podcast for so long, and the best you come up with here is Black Ops 3 DLC.
What else happened? I don't pay attention to the news, like you two hounds. I don't look.
Ellie, save him. What's your news? What are you playing?
As for what I'm playing, I literally just like finished uni for this semester, so I haven't played anything, but I did watch a playthrough of Uncharted 4.
How was that?
Now, I loved it. I've never watched or played an Uncharted game before. There was a lot of people that were like, there were a lot of opinions that were against Uncharted 4. I don't know, a lot of people
Naturally,
were like...
Because it's a loved game, so
can't exist. Yeah. So, but yeah, I watched it and it looked amazing. What? Oh my God.
It's Sid. Do I answer? Do I answer in the middle of the podcast?
Answer.
Yeah.
Put on speaker. Put him on speaker.
Hello?
Yo.
What's up, dude?
What's going on?
Not much. What's going on, dude?
Nothing, bro. You fucking hammered?
What?
You fucking hammered, bro?
Of course, man.
Yeah, right, dude. Lit as fuck, right?
Yeah, always.
Where were you?
I was out with my woman, Connor, dude. I'm recording a podcast, and you're actually on it, dude.
What's up, everybody?
How's that make you feel?
Makes me feel great, because I know I'm the fucking star of it already.
Ladies and gentlemen, his name is Sex Addict on my phone.
That's a dick move. Whatever. What are you talking to, Noah and Loan?
Nope, they're Noah. You want to get this, Connor, dude. Noah tells me how he fucking has work and can't make the podcast and snaps me with his girlfriend. And I called him out and he's like, all right, you got me. I was lying.
Oh, put me on the podcast, dude. Screw him.
You already are.
No, screw him, bro. If he can't fucking make it, that's fucked up. Dude, he misses more than he goes to.
Oh, jeez.
He's calling him out. He's not even technically on it.
Loan's laughing his ass off right now.
Oh, Loan didn't make it either.
It's just you?
Nissan and Ellie are with me.
Oh, so you have them on the podcast, but not me.
What the fuck is your problem? All
right, I get it.
I never promised you anything.
I never said you promised me anything, but I mean,
Right now.
You could throw me in there, too. We could have had a nice conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Just throw him in right now.
I don't remember this.
Okay.
All right. Well, tell Ellie and Nissan I said hello, and that you're rude.
Okay.
No, I wanted to call you and tell you, I know you're on the podcast right now, I wanted to call you and tell you real quick that I might be able to play later on. Maybe not, so I'll keep you updated.
You had to call me to tell me that.
I was saying,
yes, and I don't know if what's gonna happen, but I gotta either apologize to Brian or I can't play Overwatch with him because he got really pissed off at me at work.
Alright, we'll talk about this later.
Alright, goodbye everybody.
Alright.
You have a great podcast, Nissan, Ellie. Peace.
Adios.
Alright, Matt, bye.
Bye. This fucking kid. He makes everyone mad, clearly, as you can tell by that. Yeah, Brian's mad at me. He probably called him a weeb.
That's great. He's part of the podcast now. He was on it. He can't complain.
He always complains that he's not on it. So I was like, all right, we're going to, to everyone who thinks I was obnoxious there, it's because he always complains that he's not on it. So I was like, all right, dude, you're on right now.
He's on the podcast. There you go.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, what's up, everybody?
Oh, God. I was interested.
So, Ellie, what was your news? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. That was very rude to me.
I mean, like, apart from anything Dishonored, I haven't focused on anything else just because it's like, Yeah, it's I don't really care unless it's to do with this right now. It's like, this is my main thing up until E3 and I see what's going on. I'm focused on this like a shark. So everything that I've already talked about. And what I've been playing, again, I haven't really played anything, but Uncharted 4, watching that, I was really impressed with that game. It looked really good. Okay. And definitely recommend to play it.
Yeah, I need to play it. I had Connor play it for a review for my channel. The guy who was just on the phone with me, for those who are listening and don't know. For me, I have been playing Overwatch this week and Ninja Turtles. Yeah, if you're going to boo anything, Nissan, boo that game. Boo Ninja Turtles, not Overwatch.
Overwatch looks good there. I don't know why. All
right, here's the thing.
Overwatch and Battleborn.
I'm making a review for Overwatch. But here's my thing with Overwatch. Is that when I first played it, I thought, like, okay, there's like a bit of a lack of balance here. I was like, okay, there's a bunch of heroes shooting the fucking shit out of each other. It was really weird. It does take getting used to, though. Foot and mouth, I was wrong. It's commendable how well balanced it is for how many heroes there are in the game. There's 21 heroes, and there's like a counter for each one. You can change your hero mid-match and always fight against someone, and so like no one's ever strictly dominating. Everyone's always playing for the objective because the game's not about, you get eliminations, but you'll get an elimination. If I shoot someone once with like a pistol or something and get like 4 damage on them, you'll get an elimination. It counts as a kill, but it's like the game doesn't really count kills, so everyone's always playing the objective, which is really good. It's really, really good. It keeps the matches moving and stuff. Another testament to how balanced this game is how many late game comebacks you can make. Oh my god. It happens so much if you really combine as a team and like work hard. It's actually insane. I love that about this game so much. I really like it a lot. What it's missing, and I know there are people actually took me seriously when I said, what the fuck's this shit, in my TMNT review. I had like Overwatch on my screen at first saying like that's what I was going to review because it came out on the same day, and people were like, oh my god, he actually hates it, fuck him. And it's like, no, I like it a lot. But if I do actually have complaints about it, I don't like the lack of lore at all, because the characters are interesting and it kind of feels like they're just holding back because there's so much to explore with them, and I don't care if it's outside in the animated shorts and the comic books and on the website and all this shit. I want it in game. Just let me press triangle or square or something, because I play on PS4 for this game because that's where my friends got it, and just have like a little backstory section that I can just read about real quick and learn where these people got their special abilities from and stuff. I'd really like that. I'd like a couple more modes. I know they're adding a competitive playlist next month, because I know some people are complaining that in like the casual play, so to say, sometimes you run into teams that are like all the same heroes, and that can either go good or bad. You can either wipe the floor with that team, or they can actually kick your ass if they're really good with that one hero, which kind of sucks and breaks the game a little bit. But yeah, Overwatch, I'll have more on my review with that, but that's what I've been playing this week. I have about close to 20 hours, which is a lot for a shooter that just came out on Tuesday. I really am enjoying it. But as for the news I wanted to talk about, there was a rumor, and it is now confirmed, No Man's Sky delayed until August. How about that?
Dang.
Some people are upset about that. I mean, some people are. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's such a bad game because there's no multiplayer now.
Oh,
yeah. That was
You think
ridiculous.
It's bad? I wouldn't say bad. I wouldn't say it's a bad game. I'd say that's a bad design choice, but I wouldn't say it's going to be a bad game.
It'd be like me trying to play Minecraft without multiplayer ever.
Yeah.
That'd be so dense so fast.
That's a good point.
When it was first announced and stuff, everyone was mostly hyped about it because it would be a really awesome game to play online with people.
Yeah,
that was.
I think they said they're going to be like adding it, though.
Yeah, they said that, and then they said they're not going to now. So it's not,
really like,
what? They're not doing
it
at all?
Like, just tell me. Like, I want to know. Like, it's.
I mean, I give them credit. That's a 4 people are making that game. That's insane.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right. It started as an indie game. That's right.
Yeah. It's insane what they've done. But
that's actually true.
But I'm still allowed to have an opinion despite who's working on it. And for me, No Man's Sky, I want to see the reviews for it. I'm not talking about the press reviews, because they've been fucking eating this shit up. It's one of those games that gets lots of clicks. Wouldn't be surprised if it scored well with them. I want to see what YouTubers think of it. I want to see what like critics who do it out of passion think about this game. That's what
I wonder. Yeah, like I wonder why they don't just do like 4-player co-op. Because like
I get why.
At least that.
Even
yeah.
Two-player.
Yeah, like, because I get, like, big multiplayer. That's really hard to do. That is definitely a challenge. But, like,
especially for such a big game.
Yeah, they could do a four-player thing where they just, like, the players can't leave. Like, they can't go too far from each other. Like, I think Far Cry does that, where, like, if you go far enough away, you can't, like, go any farther. Or, like, drags the other player along. So, like, they could have done that. Yeah, an arc. Like, you could have done that, and you could have made it easy on yourself. But, like, I don't know. The game won't last long. It'll come out, it'll be hyped for about a couple days, and it'll be like Alpha, and it'll die.
I know there's hype. There's a great community for it. I was reading some Reddit posts on that as well, and they have a great community. But I'm wondering the length of the game, because it seems like it's such a tight-knit community in a sense, where I think like there's like a good portion of an audience that's like diehards, where I feel like, I could be wrong, but I feel like this is a game that's going to kind of come and go. Their community is intimidating, though. Because Jason Schreier from Kotaku initially reported that No Man's Sky was going to probably be delayed. And he just made like an article on it. And this is before it was confirmed to be true. But like someone sent him like a death threat because he was just reporting on it. And I was just
that's insane.
Yeah, I'm just like, fuck. And like someone like posted it on Reddit and was like, look at this guy like posting this information and like saying that it's going to be delayed. How could he? I'm like, he's just doing his job.
Like, yeah, like what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I get the passion, though. I admire it to some degree. It's pretty cool. But the threat in his life over it.
That's a bit
He's
too
not
much,
the developer.
Yeah. He's not. Yeah, exactly. It's just don't.
And that was followed up by a tweet from Jim Sterling who said, like, do you guys realize that, like, game developers cringe when you threaten and, like, get really venomous over shit in games? Like, they don't want you to do that. You're not doing anyone any favors.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I hate it.
People are crazy. It's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it.
I do. For our last segment, fan questions, and we're getting them from Twitter. We just said, ask away. So we don't know what we're going to get here. I'm looking right now on my phone. We got from Rain Tales, favorite childhood experience.
Ooh.
I have to have a childhood, though.
Oh.
Wow, Nason, that was not fucking grim at all.
I don't have
any. What do I do?
I played.
Childhood.
Video games. Does that count?
Played video games.
Something got happened, you're like, wow, that was awesome. It doesn't have to be a favorite. Why not, like, you're like, yeah, that was a pretty good memory.
I mean, one of my, like, highlights was with my older brother, because he's 8 years older than me. He was already playing video games and stuff like that, playing Mortal Kombat and all those kind of even violent games and whatnot. He was fine to play all that. And I was young, and one of my best memories is usually, like, in waking up in the morning and, like, him already sitting playing video games and me kind of, like, joining him and watching him play those games. Like, any of those family, like, moments where we would all sit around and watch Mortal Kombat and, like, watch him play, because he's really super good at games. So, like, we'd watch him, like, destroy these characters. And it was, like, insane. It was amazing. And, like, at night when we'd gather around, we'd do it. We'd order pizza. Like, pizza was, like, a thing ever since I was little. And,
yeah,
like,
a thing since you were little? I couldn't tell. Yeah.
But yeah, like, we'd all sit around and eat pizza and play video games, and I was only little, and it's just been a thing ever since then. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's probably the best memories, like, those things for me.
One for me would probably be like the snack, we called them snack parties growing up, and it would be me, my brother, and my dad, and we'd all like get together, bring out, because we, like, now I have, like, a bigger TV in my room. My brother's got a bigger TV in his room, so do my parents. But we used to only have, like, one bigger TV in the house. And growing up, we'd bring out, like, all our gaming systems and everything to the big TV. And, like, just us three would, like, sit there and play games, like, all night. And, like, have all these junk food things. And, like, sometimes we call it, like, men's night as well. Like, my mom would, like, go out, or, like, she'd go in, like, the bedroom or something and just, like, go to bed early. And, like, we'd just be up all night, like, playing games and eating shitty food. And we'd just, like, crash out there. It was awesome.
That's the life.
Nissan?
Oh, cool. Come on.
I heard you type it away on the computer. Like, were you Googling your favorite memories?
That was
people's favorite childhood memories.
Things. I don't know. I don't have those things. I don't know what those things are.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Just make one up. First time you played Fallout. Because you're a little youngling, so yeah, that would work.
New Vegas. I don't know when it came out. But I don't remember that. That was a long time ago.
I remember that because I fucking hated the game at first. I was like, I remember that fondly because I was like, what the fuck is this?
No. I
hate the desert.
Why did you take on Noah's voice there?
Because he thought the same fucking thing. Except for me, I got over it. And I was like, you know what? This is a good fucking game.
Oh, no.
All right, here's a question that we can all answer. I think this is a good one. Hopefully. The NZ Vault Boy asks, what got you into making YouTube videos? Or streaming, we'll say, as well. Because I know Nissan and Ellie, you both do that as well.
I started streaming because of you, Matt, actually. I would, like, start to stream after you and stuff. Yeah, that was, like, the biggest reason.
Aw. So. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I want to cry right now.
You are my inspiration. That's so cute, you guys. I started when I was in primary school. So I was, like, 11, I think. 12. And I used to just make really shitty skits with my brother. And I don't know why. I've always been watching YouTube, like, ever since it was, like, a thing. I've always watched it, and I've always been inspired to, like, do that. I've always wanted to do that. And it kind of evolved from me doing little skits to eventually when I learned how to do gameplay videos. I've done that since I was, like, for a couple years I've been doing it now. And it's just always been a thing. And no one really particularly inspired me. I had my interests, and I wanted to make content. It's always been a drive. I didn't get it from anyone, really.
No, I hear you. That's kind of how it was for me. Like, I'll admit, like, watching other YouTubers got me to want to do it. Like, Angry Video Game Nerd was one, no doubt. Smosh was one before they, like, really blew up. They had, like, a million subs at the time and stuff. But, you know, like, they got me excited to entertain. And I've never been, like, it's funny because my channel's more about, informing people than entertaining. But I've always enjoyed entertaining in some way, and so it's kind of strange how my channel's actually turned out. But for me, it's not been like, wow, this person inspired me. Like, it's more so, sorry, I sounded like lone there. Yeah. for me, it's more so, hold on, I got to highlight a great response I had to ShoddyCast, because they responded to me.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
They're like, why is ShoddyCast so awesome? Like, because you put my face in your video. That was great. I love them. But what I was saying was, I just wanted to. This is before YouTube. You even knew you could, like, make money off of it or anything. I just wanted to, like, share. It sounds cheesy, but I wanted to, like, share a love of, like, gaming with other people, because, like, I had a couple of friends who were, like, really into gaming. This is before Connor and, like, Ivan really got into gaming and stuff, so I was really, like, the only gamer. And then, like, I met Noah, and that's kind of where it started to evolve, where he was like, you should try YouTube. And so for me, it was more so just I wanted to talk about games, and YouTube was a place you could do that. One of my first videos was a EA Skate Bales montage, back when it was acceptable to, like, record your TV with, like, a handheld camcorder. And so that's how far back I go to some degree, was those. And I loved making, like, Bale montages. So I'd put, like, fucking Panic at the Disco in the background or some bullshit and just cringe.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find. This is a question we could all answer, because I don't really get the hilarity behind it, but we'll just talk about it in general. Someone said, why do you and Noah put videos of you zooming in on your girlfriend's faces on Snapchat? But what is so funny about pinching and zooming on someone's face?
Zooming in is just kind
of
funny.
It's a thing.
Like, I don't know what it is, but, like it's before it became a thing, like, Noah and I started sending, like, zoomed in selfies of each other, like, that we'd get on Facebook of each other and, like, zoom in and send them back to him. But and I'm not saying we started it, but I'm saying then it just became a thing, and it's like, why is this a thing?
I don't know. It's this. Oh my god, no. It actually gets me so bad.
You
like,
zoomed
I know
on the recorder, only half your face is showing, so you're like Don't fuck with me.
It's totally just because it's so confronting. It's just like, oh. And I don't know. I do it with my dogs. Like, I'll like send videos.
I have a zoomed in photo of one of your dogs on my phone.
Yes, you do. My dog's going around, man. Like, he's zoomed in photos of his eyes. Like,
yeah, like, all right. I don't know what it is. I think it's just like a way of saying, like, I fucking hate you. Like, just in some weird, unique way. Like a loving, I fucking hate you. Like, that's what I did to Noah. Like, it's like, yeah, you're my best friend. I love you. But, like, I fucking despise you. Like, look at you in this picture. Like, you are just a disgrace. That was my train of thought with Noah. I'm like, are you proud of yourself in this photo? Because you shouldn't be.
You should.
God.
Yeah.
Or it's actually more so to highlight a certain part of the photo. It's like, look at this here. Yeah. Like, just look at this. It's usually Noah's face or Connor's face or my own.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What else do we have here? What are your opinions on the Lone Lisp Wanderer? He should stick with that.
Yeah.
You guys have any good summer stories? Please tell. This is from Unicorn Neuter S.
Summer stories.
I told this already, but I got one of, like, when I was during my rebellious 8th grade days, like 13 years old, and, like, being bad was the cool thing. Ding Dong Ditched someone's house and was like running away from it, and like we got away and we're like, oh, that was cool, fist bump, and like all of a sudden I hear like a car start.
I
was just like, oh,
I was on that
shit. Yeah, I was like, oh boy, because this is just one of the more fonder ones I think of, and like no one else caught on to it except me. I was like, guys, we gotta go, that was a car starting. Like, we dove into the woods right as this car was coming around the bend, and if we didn't, pretty sure I wouldn't be sitting here right now, because he flew around that corner at like 60, which just fucking ripped my legs off.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one that comes to mind. I mean, every summer comes a great story, so that's really hard to like narrow down. I remember one summer I met a bunch of like WWE stars, because they like came in and were like doing some event, and they were just like roaming around. I was like, hey, can I get a picture?
Wait,
and like,
wait, which?
Maria Kane Ellis. I met Matt and Jeff Hardy. I met Booker T. Yeah, I did the most. All right, look, I'm just gonna say, I did the most white guy thing to Booker T. Okay,
oh my god,
that's I'll say it, because you'll there's a picture of it on my Instagram, and the reason I say it like this is because you got like Booker T, who's doing like his hands up like this, like doing his cool ass pose, and we got my group of friends like fists up, like, yo, this is badass, and there's me standing there, biggest smile on my face, because I'm meeting like one of my childhood idols. I have my arm around his shoulder. I'm like,
oh my god! Like,
and everyone else is like badass looking. I'm just like, hey guys.
Like, that is so cute.
It's so funny. Here, I'm gonna put it in the group chat. You guys keep talking. I'm gonna throw it in the group chat so you guys can actually see just how white I am. This is the best way to describe it. I'm not trying to sound like out of bounds here or anything. It's just really the best way to describe it.
It's just this, that was your like really genuine response to something like that, though. Like you don't want to like.
I like put my hand on his shoulders. I'm like, holy shit, he's jacked as fuck. I'm like, yeah,
they're like, huge. It's like, what the fuck?
I'm putting it in the group chat like, right now. I found it. Look at this. Look how cool everyone looks, and then there's me.
Oh.
Here, I'll for everyone who's watching on video, I'm gonna try to bring it up here so you can sort of see. Hold on,
it's so bad of a picture, like already.
Yeah,
though.
Like, can you kind of see the folk? It's
let
kind
me
of...
see if I can do it better.
All right, yeah, it's a little bit better. You can just see like the really white kid, which is me, with my hand over Booker T's shoulder. It's so bad.
That is so.
It's so bad. Everyone else like. I flashed a, like a cool sign with Jeff Hardy, like I like grouped up with Maria Kane Ellis, and then like Booker T. I'm like, what's up, buddy?
Sup?
It's like not even your hand is like hidden behind his shoulder; it's like wrapped around his shoulder. Like, you're holding his shoulder.
Like, we asked, when we asked him for a picture, like he was pretty triggered. Like we were like, my friend Nick was like, "Yo, Booker, can we get a picture?" He's like, "All right, let's do this." Like he said, it's so like, get the fuck away from me. Come on, like why?
I mean, they must get it all the time, though. The thing. Like they probably don't want to sound like that, but it's like that's what would happen if you were that big. Like
here, okay, here's a good question to wrap things up on. So I'm going to high school. Anything I need to know?
Ooh,
at Crystal Waffle. It's not as bad as everyone makes it sound, where they're like, oh, you're going to get stuffed in lockers and stuff. I know what you're thinking by asking that.
Toilet.
Yeah, I know you're nervous because you think you're going to get swirled and stuff. No one's going to know who the fuck you are.
No one cares.
No one knows. It's not the the 80s and 90s where it's like, what's up, nerd, like that.
Yeah, that's what really happened.
Like, yeah, just mind your own business. Do your own thing. You'll make friends. Don't be hesitant to speak up or anything. That type of stuff. It's high school is a, and you won't know until it's over, is a good-ass time. It's so easy and it is so fun.
Yeah.
I'd say that college is like, college is definitely harder, but college is still more fun. But it's like, high school is a very good growing phase. And you don't realize it until it's all done.
Yeah. The thing is,
you look at it before and after yourself, freshman year and like senior year, and you're like, what the fuck was why did my parents let me go out of my house then?
No, the thing with high school is if you have AP classes available, like the super high level, be careful. Taking a lot of those because I took 3 this year, and honestly, AP classes are harder than college level classes, actual college classes, because they're trying to prepare you. So like, you have homework every day. You go to school for 8 hours, then you come home. You have all this crap, and it's just like, be wary of taking a lot of AP classes. I'm not saying don't, because they're definitely good, but just don't take too many and then ruin your high school. Because this year got ruined for me just because like I took 3, I took 4 originally, I left 1 because the teacher was awful. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's just like, be careful and don't take too many, and just pick what you have fun in, don't pick what like your counselors try to guide you towards, because I know my counselors were like, take this, take that, and they were just trying to do it because they get more money if I took those classes. Mm-hmm. So, take what you want, don't take what somebody else says, just like anything.
Because I junior year, I dated a girl who like was AP everything and like had a bunch of hobbies outside of it, and like it was awful. She's like, oh, I like being busy. It's like, no, I can see you're miserable right now. She's like, yeah. And then like girl I'm dating right now, she takes a couple of AP classes. Yeah, and it's tough.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's hard, especially what depends on what you take. Because like I took like a AP English class and like a calculus class and bio, and I hate bio. And English, I'm bad at English, and then calc, it's just...
I love English class.
I can't... English. Yeah, you two are English. I can't even speak it, let alone write it.
I'm not saying it cocky way. I've always been a pretty good writer, though, growing up and stuff. Like, I've always been... Like, that was my specialty, like, composition classes and stuff growing up, and even in college. Like, those are the easiest classes. Math has been all right. Math treats me well if I get it. You know, like if I understand that, I will destroy you, math. Do not fuck with me. History,
I took that online this year. I'm like, nope.
Hit or miss. Hit or miss.
It is. Like this year was okay.
We're learning about like the Native Americans and stuff.
I don't care. Yeah, but like once we get to like World War One and Two in my history class, I'm like, yes.
Once we hit Industrial Revolution, you got me. I'm good. You know, I love that stuff. That and onwards, awesome. But like other than that, it's like, ugh, gross. Pilgrims, fuck you. I don't care.
Exactly.
I sound like an uncultured swine, but like I'm just talking from an interest standpoint. Stop.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Like, with our history, like we do a lot of Australian history. But the thing is, it's like we don't have that much of a history because it's like – We talk about all the Aboriginal history and stuff, which is actually really interesting. That learning about their culture is very interesting. But then you kind of skip over that, and then you go straight to when the British came, and you go straight from there, and you go straight into politics. You go straight into like what every single prime minister we've ever had, you know. And it's like I hate all that the political stuff. We like skip through all of the interesting crap, and we go straight to like politics.
Politics. Gross. I hate politics. Ew.
And then there's nothing else because we're a young like country.
Yeah, you guys...
Like we don't have anything else and nothing else happened, okay? And I mean, for a perspective on high school in Australia, if you're an Australian listener, and go to high school here, or if you do the HSE, with the whole, like, what you guys were saying with the counselors, people will say, do this class to get into this course and blah, blah, blah. I was sort of stressed out. I was worried because the classes that I wanted to do weren't going to scale me high in the HSC. So HSC is basically, like, a huge exam you do at the end of year 12, your final year, and that gets you into university with a certain score. And to get into certain universities, you need, like, a really high score. But to do what you want to do in high school might not give you that score. Like, the only way you're going to get a high score is if you do all the sciences and do, like, the top maths and economics and stuff like that. And my best friend, she did, like, everything, like, the top level, and she made it through, and I congratulate her. But, like, don't stress yourself out. Do what you want to do, because you know what? There's a way into everything you want to do. Like, you're going to go through high school, and you're going to freak out because you're like, the HSC is it. That is, like, your defining moment. What I can do for the rest of my life, it really isn't. I got a lower score. Like,
no. Don't you have, is the SAT over there you guys can take, right?
Yes, you can also take the SATs to get into somewhere.
Worst test ever.
No, take the SAT. The SAT is so easy.
It's easy, but it's 5 fucking hours long. It's a joke.
Hey, I know, I'd rather that, but like, compared to what I've heard about the HSC, take the SAT.
That's a good option. Like, but the only thing with the SATs is you take that as a mature student if your ATAR result isn't relevant anymore. Like, you do that as a mature student. So you can't take the SAT straight up and then go. It's solely your ATAR unless you go to a uni that, you know, you go through a pathway. There's always pathways to get into unis if you don't get the right score. And on top of that, there are a lot of unis that go solely by portfolio work, interviews, a bunch of other stuff. I got in with an interview. I was accepted on the spot, and it all worked out for me. Like, I didn't get the score that I wanted, and I'm doing the best, like, degree, double degree I could do. Like, at the school I was going to go to, that double degree wasn't there, and I would have wasted my time doing half of my degree at some other school. And I found, like, the perfect school with the perfect double degree combining two things I wanted to do. And that wasn't through a school that looked at ATARs. So, yeah, don't worry.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. High school is awesome.
Just enjoy
especially,
yourself.
Yeah, if you're just entering, yeah, you're going to feel a little weird at first because there's a lot more people than you're used to. Yeah, well, unless your high school was, like, connected to your middle school, because judging by your terminology, you're American. But, yeah, it's high school is fun. You're going to see a lot of interesting stuff at first. You're going to get used to it. For me, I was just talking about this today. My beginning of high school was as good as I could possibly ask for because two of my best friends were in all of my classes except one. So that was really, really lucky of me. I had my friends Sonny and Ivan in all of them. So I was just like having fun the whole year. And like it was easy to get to know people because we were this group and then we'd like talk to other groups and then like combine and we'd had like a huge group. So it was a good time. But yeah, in the end of it all, high school is something you should look forward to. Not really dread, except for the getting up in the morning thing. Yeah, that.
Yeah, getting up at 6 a.m. Yeah,
fuck that.
Yeah, but okay. No, what you do is like your last year, or your second last year, depending on which, get late arrival if you can. Because
I got late arrival and early dismissal, motherfucker. Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, I wanted. To
I
get
had
both.
Like I had to take like 3 classes my senior year. I was. So done. I was hyped, dude. I loved my senior year because I was just there for easy ass classes and like extra activities afterwards to like hang out with other people. It was so much fun. I loved it.
I wanted to so bad get like early or late arrival really bad, but like I'm sounding like a nerd. I wanted to take more classes, and honestly, like
I
know what you mean.
Yeah, like I need an ace period next year, honestly, because I want to take a first aid class on top of everything else I'm taking. But I just don't have time. So it's just like, I went from having like 2 periods late arrival to like, I don't have any time. So I'm just taking 7 classes again. So.
Yeah.
Just, why? Why do people do this to themselves?
It's because like, I need that stuff. Because like, it's like my gaming stuff. Like my design.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
For me, it was like math, English.
No, I'm not taking the extra.
Like, I mean, I could have taken extra classes, like opt into a foreign language. I'm like, who am I going to be speaking Italian to? Like.
Yeah, no. No, I'm taking the stuff that, like, I want. That's the reason, like, I don't have late arrival anymore. Because, like, I could graduate, I think, right now, if I wanted to. The only reason I'm doing this is because of, like...
My friend was going to I had 2 friends who graduated.
That's the other thing. Do not graduate early. That's the worst thing you could ever do. My friend is graduating this year. He went to the Marines. He's an idiot. Like, Josh, you're dumb. If you ever hear this, you were dumb for going to the Marines a year early. He should, like, do not ever graduate early. You will be miserable. Afterwards, you will regret it. So do not do that.
Please. Yeah.
Well, a big issue with both college and high school is like, don't rush your life, man. Like, whatever makes you happy. Exactly. Like, if you want to take less classes and take it easy, do it. If you want to take more, work hard, Nissan. Do it. You know, I don't know if it'll make you happier, but
no.
If it's what you want to do,
don't. yeah, live your life based on other people's opinions, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, God, what makes you happy?
Yeah, don't freak out. Just chill out. Do what you want. Don't listen to others, and you'll be good.
Yeah. That's a good question to wrap up on. This has been an hour and 20 minutes, so I think we're solid. All right, Nissan, Ellie, thank you guys so much for joining me yet again.
Keep having us.
And this has been episode 62 of the Ham Radio Podcast. Once again, thank you to our listeners for sticking with us for this long. We love you very much. And yeah, I guess I'll just wrap it up now. I'll do the outro. Do you guys want to do it? Oh, I heard like a sigh of disappointment because I really didn't know what I was even going to say.
Ellie, you seem pretty excited about it.
I
think we loan did it last time or something.
Yeah, jumped in.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, basically, what we were saying really, really ended well. So do what you want to do. Do what makes you happy. Follow your dreams and whatever. And yeah, I guess.
So.
Bye. I got to awkwardly reach for the mouse now. I was moving the mouse all over the screen. All right, bye, guys.